Thank you. You may be seated. Amen. Take your Bibles, open them with me to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17, and if you'd like, also you can turn to Romans chapter 2. We'll go there in just a bit, but starting in Genesis 17. Titled the message this morning, Set Apart for God. Set Apart for God or Sanctification. Thought it was interesting that the Sunday school lesson this morning delved into sanctification, and we kind of get another taste or look at it, if you would, this morning in the message. And I just love it when the Lord puts things together like that without even planning. In Genesis chapter 17, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 9, the Bible says, And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. I want to read a couple other verses of Scripture in Leviticus chapter 20, verses 7 and 8. The Bible says, Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy. Again, sanctification or sanctify simply means to set apart. God wants us to set ourselves apart. He says, For I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, the Bible says, But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. In Strand's study Bible, he writes, Circumcision was an illustration of sanctification with a twofold significance. The first being a sign to Abraham of God's covenant with him and that he would be set apart for God. The second being a sign to the world that God's people were to be different. Whenever I hear the word sanctification or sanctified or read and see the word, I always think of the illustration that I was given way back in Bible college. And it's the idea, if you will, of a business that has made its first dollar. And they've taken that dollar and they've framed it. And they've put it in a place of prominence. How many of you have ever been into a business and seen something like that? I don't know of any businesses around here. I think Charlie's restaurant downtown might have something like that. Does it? Does anybody know? Shots might have something like that. When a business is starting out and makes its first dollar, one of the things that the owner of the business likes to do is take that dollar, put it in a frame, and set it apart, set it in a place of prominence. Now, is that dollar worth more than another dollar? It's the exact same. You're going to take it to the bank and you're going to get 100 pennies for it or 10 dimes. It's not a more valuable dollar. In fact, the only difference between that dollar and any other dollar is the value placed on it by the owner. But what he's done, or she, is he's taken it and placed it in a position of prominence. It's not in the drawer. It's not in his pocket. It's not in his bank account. It's set apart. God wants for you and I to be set apart, to be sanctified in this world. We must set ourselves apart for God. The Bible teaches how we can do this, and if you've turned to Romans chapter 2, I want to read some verses in Romans chapter 2. The first way that we set ourselves apart for God, beginning in verse 25 of Romans 2, the Bible says, "For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh." Here it is. "But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter. Whose praise is not of man, but of God." What God is interested in today is not a physical circumcision. He's interested in a circumcision of our heart. Why? Because he is our creator. And when we allow him access to our lives and give him our heart, the Bible says he creates in us a clean heart. He gives us a new heart. And he is our owner. He wants us to be set apart. He wants us to be sanctified. The way that we do that is by cleansing ourselves. We cleanse ourselves when we're sanctified, when we're set apart. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says, "In whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if you want to turn there, some important passages of Scripture for us as well, beginning in verse 14. The Bible says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God. And they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate," sanctified, "saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, the Bible says, let us cleanse ourselves. In 1 John 1, 7, the Bible says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Have you ever tried cleaning something or thought that you cleaned something, only to go back later and realize you didn't do a great job? If you have children and they offer to clean or they help clean, and you go back and you look and you go. Now, sometimes there's a reason, right? We're in a hurry. We thought we did the right thing. We used the right chemical. We used enough soap, whatever. But most of the time, the problem is not that we didn't want to clean it, not that we didn't want to get it cleaned. The problem was there wasn't enough light. We couldn't see it. That little streak or that little crumb left on the fork. Whatever it was. We couldn't see it because we didn't have enough light. See, when the Bible instructs for us to cleanse ourselves so that we're set apart, we're sanctified for God, there's only one way that we're ever going to do that. And that's with enough light. Well, the light comes from God's Word. The Bible says when we shine God's light into our hearts and in our lives, what we're doing is we're literally saying, God, examine me. Show me those spots that I haven't seen yet. See, because we're good at cleaning ourselves up in our own eyes. We're good at presenting a front to other people. And other people look and they say, must be clean. But they're like us, not comparing it to the light of God's Word and allowing His light to shine into those places and show us those things that really aren't clean. The only way that we can cleanse ourselves, the only way that we can have Christ's blood cleanse us from all sin, is to allow the light of His Word into our hearts and lives. Once we allow His Word into our hearts and lives, the Bible begins to illuminate and show things to us that perhaps we didn't see before. Perhaps we didn't realize weren't as clean as we thought. Maybe help us to understand we were just putting on a front. We were just showing enough to others that they thought we were really clean, when in reality, the light of God's Word has shown us the truth. When we sanctify ourselves, God wants us to separate ourselves, and the way that we do that is by cleansing ourselves. Once we've cleansed ourselves, we're instructed to consecrate ourselves. And again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, the Bible says, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. To consecrate simply means to make sacred. To give your life to Christ by being saved and allowing Him to work His holiness in and through your life. Consecration begins with salvation. It continues with being baptized, being separated, and committed. Separation doesn't mean, now listen, it doesn't mean rejecting the good things of the world. There are people, there are groups, and again, I loved it because we were in Sunday school talking about it. There are groups that will separate themselves and think that they're somehow consecrating themselves in a manner to God, when really all they're doing is denying themselves the good things of the world. Now, I'm not picking on any groups, but the other day I saw this illustration, and so I wanted to share it with you, and it was of an Amish person, okay? The Amish people, if you don't know anything about them, they separate themselves from the good things of the world, like vehicles, you know, electric-powered things, you know. And again, maybe in their minds, that's a certain type of holiness, but really all it is a denying of themselves of the good things that are in the world. The illustration that I saw was a picture of an Amish fella with an Amish woman standing behind him, and she's, you know, all dressed, and she's got her head covering on and everything, and he's got his straw hat there, brim hat, and he's in his suspenders, his big long beard, and he's on a motorcycle video game. He's playing a video game. So technically he wasn't, you know, on an automated machine, but he was kind of enjoying, you know, a video game. I thought, you know, that's pretty funny. How sad though, right? They're denying themselves the good things of the world simply because they believe that's somehow consecrating themselves in a holy manner. That's not what God's talking about when he says to consecrate ourselves. It's not denying ourselves of the good things of the world. What it is it's rejecting the bad side of worldly things. What are you talking about? I don't think anybody in here would deny that eating can be good. I don't think anybody in here would deny that technological advancements are good. But there is a bad side to worldly things. What are you talking about? I'm talking about dress. I'm talking about music. I'm talking about movies, entertainment, food, and the internet. And on and on and on. We could, you know, there are lots of good things in the world. It's not rejecting the good things. It's denying the bad things of the world. We've got to be careful. The Bible says to be circumspect, to be wise in how we approach these things. Identify and abstain. Again, we talked about this last week. Abstain from things that the world says is okay when your spirit and your faith are telling you different. That's the key when it comes to consecration. It's not just taking everything that's in the world and saying, well, I'm going to not be a part of any of it. What it's doing is saying, no, you have a Holy Spirit inside of you. You have the light of God's word. You have your faith. You know what's evil, what's bad in those things that are in the world. And that's what you need to abstain from. Not allow yourself to get trapped in. We do this, again, by seeking God's word, seeking godly counsel, understanding where our spirit is at. See, sometimes, you know, people get in a bad mood. Really, what's going on is there's a spiritual battle taking place. It's not that they're necessarily in a bad mood, they didn't get enough coffee or anything like that. By the way, I kind of get a little cranky when I don't get enough coffee. But what it is a spiritual battle sometimes, and maybe they're not doing something, or they're doing something they know they probably shouldn't, and their spirit's conflicting with them, and so they're not wanting to open up and get right with God or be honest with people. Pretty soon, things that didn't bother them before are now bothering them because they're agitated in their spirit. Again, I'm not saying that's everybody every time. So, you know, sometimes it is a lack of sleep or whatever. But that's the issue when it comes to consecration is, are we participating? Are we doing things that are contrary to the Holy Spirit of God in us? That are contrary to His Word? That are contrary to our faith? They're not growing us in our faith. They're not strengthening us in our faith. In fact, they're diminishing our faith. They're causing us to doubt and question. Well, the Bible says to consecrate ourselves, to separate ourselves. Consecration is prioritizing the things of God and service to Him over the things that the world says are important. See, the world has all kinds of ideas about what's important. God has ideas about what's important. Eternity is important. Souls are important. Your testimony is important. Your family is important. Are we prioritizing things ahead of God and service to Him because the world says it's important? When we consecrate ourselves, we understand that it's the prioritizing of things of God and service to Him. That's what's most important. Not only do we need to separate ourselves and learn to cleanse ourselves and then consecrate ourselves, but the Bible also instructs us to conform ourselves. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." When the Bible talks about conforming, it's not saying that we all need to be the exact same. That would be not the idea that God is trying to convey. What it is recognizing your position in Christ as a child of His and seeking to be more like Christ each and every day. That's the conforming that we're to do. Not conforming to be like other people. Not conforming to be like other Christians. Now, again, certain things might be a help to you that somebody else is doing, and there's nothing wrong with that. But trying to be somebody else and follow after them instead of understanding who Christ is and drawing into a closer relationship with Him is going to meet with a lot of trouble and a lot of difficulty. You might not be able to keep up. By the way, Christ knows that we're not going to be able to keep up with Him. That's why we lean on Him. That's why we continually go to Him. Because He is the one that cleanses us. He is the one that helps us. And He will conform us. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Be not conformed to this world. When we conform ourselves, what we're doing is we're renewing our mind day by day. We're proving what is good. We're proving what is acceptable. We're proving what is perfect and what is the will of God. Conforming ourselves, you know, on Wednesday nights, we've been having Bible study, and we've been talking about the church and how God meant for the church to be a brotherhood. How many of you have brothers or sisters or siblings? And if the church is to be a brotherhood, that means that we're to be tolerant, right? If you have brothers or sisters, you understand that. There's some tolerance. And if you grew up like I did, sharing a bedroom, boy, you really understand tolerance. Right? You have to. And in the body of Christ, God intended for the church to be a brotherhood. Why? So that we would understand tolerance. It's not that we're all to be the exact same. Not only that, the church is to be like a body. And that's for the purpose of unity. Again, when your body is doing something, it doesn't just, you know, your arm wander off and go do something. It acts as a unit. The church should be a unit, but that doesn't mean all the parts are the same. We're tolerant because we're different. I have three boys. I promise you, they're different. You know, I love the fact that I know they're saved. And I love the fact that they're mine most days. You know, it's funny because they're good boys, and I'm not trying to be dismissive of them, but I know them. I'm their dad. Their mom knows them. She's their mom. You know a lot about them, but you can know them too if you take them on a trip to Grand Forks in a vehicle. You know, all three of them. Listen, and again, I mean, nothing terrible, but I'm sitting there driving. All of a sudden, you know, there's quibbling. What's going on? Dad, he licked me. No, I didn't, Dad. I just put my nose on him. You know. And other various adventures along the way. Listen, they're boys. They're brothers. You know what? They're going to tolerate each other. I know you guys never tolerated in those manners growing up. I have a brother here this morning, another brother and a sister. You know, there's tolerance. Why? Because there's differences. And that's okay. I told him, I said, you know, you guys' love for each other is going to stress me out. It really is. You know, they make fun of me losing my hair, and they're the reason. But in the church is meant to be a brotherhood. You know what that means? We're going to tolerate each other. We're not always going to see eye to eye 100% on everything, but we're to love each other. We're a body. We're to act as a unit. Identifying the needs of the body, meeting those needs, moving forward, growing in Christ, placing Christ as the priority in our lives. The one that we consecrate ourselves to. The one that we conform ourselves to. Conforming to Christ means loving others. Conforming to Christ means serving others. Conforming to Christ means giving to others. If you want to know, if you want to do a little self-check, if you will, my wife, bless her heart, she's teaching down at the school, and one of the things she's having to do is a self-evaluation. Now, you know, the way they have it set up, though, it's like 6 pages worth of information, and she's got to try and figure out, you know, in evaluating herself, what's true and what's not. I'm not saying you have to go to that length, okay? Those three things that I just mentioned, loving others, serving others, giving to others. When you look at the life of Christ, does that identify his characteristics at all? Did he love others? Did he serve others? Did he give to others? Then ask yourself that question in your self-evaluation. Who have I loved recently? And I'm not talking about the lovely people. The Bible says we're to love our enemies. Who have I served recently? Whom have I given to? And I'm not talking about just financially, although that's fine too and that's good. Your time. Your resources. I've stated this before, and I think it bears repeating here, that I don't lend things out to people. Because I've learned that when you do that, you expect to get it back. Right? So if I don't have it to give, I don't lend it. Now, if somebody says they want to borrow something, in my mind, what I do is I say, this is yours. If I get it back, great. If I don't, that's okay. Why? So that way, I'm serving as well as giving. And I'm loving as well as serving and giving. See, when we expect things in return, can we really call that giving? The Bible says to neither a borrower nor a lender be. What it's talking about is in your heart and your spirit. And again, I'm not saying don't loan things to people. I'm saying the mentality with which we approach things. We ought to evaluate ourselves to see where we are at spiritually and whether or not we're conforming ourselves to the image of Christ. Loving others, serving others, and giving to others. There are other ways that we conform ourselves to Christ. Through praying, through fasting, through reading God's word, and through seeking the lost. Again, it's not for us to be like other believers. It's for us to conform ourselves to Christ. And when we pray and when we fast, we deny ourselves. When we read, when we open God's word and we say, pour out into me what I need. When we seek the lost, what we're doing is we're saying, Lord, this isn't my life to live. It's your life to live through me. So guide me, teach me, show me how to conform to be more like you. And again, because Paul said, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. What Paul understood was that people were going to see him and they were going to want to do things that he did. Paul said, that's fine, as long as you're understanding that what I'm doing is trying to follow after Christ. And that's your ultimate goal. It's okay. It's not that we're, again, not to follow certain people. But what we need to understand is that we don't put people on a pedestal. We put Christ on a pedestal. We elevate the name of Christ and try to conform to him. Again, by loving others, serving others, and giving to others. God wants us to set ourselves apart. In the Old Testament with Abraham, he gave him a sign. He gave him a token, the Bible calls it. It's no longer that we have to do that, but it is a circumcision of the heart. Just as baptism is a sign. Next Sunday we're going to have baptism. It's a sign. Doesn't add to salvation. Doesn't elevate somebody's salvation over another. Doesn't do anything other than show that somebody is willing to identify with who Christ is and what he did on the cross for us. When he died, was buried in a tomb, and rose again. If we're to set ourselves apart, if we're to be sanctified, one of the first things we need to understand is God wants our heart. He wants us to confess to him our need for a Savior. And when we do that, he wants us to consecrate our lives to him. He wants us to say, Lord, take your light. Shine it into my life and show me those areas where I'm falling short. Show me how I'm missing the mark. Show me how I'm really not clean. Because we'll do a good job of ourselves, cleaning ourselves up, but when we compare it to the light of God's word, there might be some things that we missed. Might be some areas that God still has some work to do. And then we conform ourselves and we say, Lord, it's not my life to live. I want to live for you. I want to follow you. So help me to be more like you. Help me to love the way that you loved. Help me to serve the way that you served. Help me to give the way that you gave. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. As we consider the message and consecrating ourselves to the Lord, giving ourselves to be set apart for God, do we understand that because of Calvary, we can be clean. God has cleansed us from all unrighteousness, the Bible says. But we must give our hearts to Him. I don't know your heart this morning. The Bible says that man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. If you're here this morning, put your faith and trust in Christ. Maybe today, if something was to happen and you were to step out into eternity, you're not sure that you're saved. We'd like to take the Word of God and show you how you can know that heaven is your home. You're there and you'd say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'd like to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to identify you in any way. I just want to pray for you." If you'd be honest with the Lord, though, and you'd say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved." Would you slip your hand up right quick and put it right back down? Anybody at all? You understand that God wants to separate you. He wants to sanctify you, set you apart, because He values you. He wants to cleanse you completely. Anybody at all? Just slip your hand up right quick, put it right back down. Say, "Pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven." As believers, we have a responsibility to be honest before God. If we're saved, He wants to set us apart. He wants to cleanse us thoroughly. Do we allow Him access to every area of our lives so that we can be consecrated to Him? Do we seek to conform to His Word? To recognize those opportunities that He gives us to love others, to serve others, and to give to others? Or are we holding back because we're afraid of being hurt? Or we've been hurt and we're afraid we might get hurt again? The Lord knows our hurt. He knows our struggles. He knows our difficulties. The Bible says He was wounded for our transgressions. He knows our hurt. He bled and died over our hurt. He just wants to heal. But in order for us to heal, we have to surrender and submit ourselves to Him. I wonder if you'd be willing to do that today. To allow God to help us to conform and be more like Him. To consecrate ourselves to Him. To cleanse ourselves. By going to Him, understanding, recognizing the truth of His Word. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In just a moment, we'll sing a hymn of invitation. A time for you to do business with the Lord. Again, maybe you couldn't raise your hand if you're here and you're not saved. We'd like to take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved. As believers, maybe you just want to spend some time in prayer asking God to help you to be sanctified for Him. As we sing, you do whatever God would have you to do and be obedient to the Holy Spirit in your heart and life. Heavenly Father, we do praise You and thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You've not only saved us, Lord, You've sanctified us and You've set us apart. Help us to cleanse ourselves, to consecrate ourselves, Lord, and to conform our lives unto Christ, to follow after You, to allow You to shine the light of Your Word in and through each and every area of our lives, to help us to love, to serve, and to give to others. We'll give You the praise and thanks for all You do. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. As we stand together and sing.